Hey there, everybody. I'm Aline Thompson, and I want to welcome you to the Treasured Ministries podcast. Today, I have with me a guest, a dear friend, and the reason I invited this particular guest is because she inspires me. Now, you know, I have an agreement with my audience that I never recommend anything, I never share anything with you unless it's first blessed me. And let me tell you that my friendship and Honey Beth's resources have blessed me. Honey Beth, welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast.
Thank you so much. I am so excited to be here with you today. I just enjoy Treasured Ministries. I enjoy you and your friendship, and it is such an honor to be able to share with everybody all of these wonderful things that God has done and is doing in my life and inspiring others.
Amen. Amen. And so you are the founder of Legacy of Joy. That is the name of your company. And within that company, you're an author, you're a speaker, you're a certified health coach. When I look in, what I say is you're an inspirer, that through all these avenues that you have, you're working with different people to inspire them to live that joy-filled life. So can you tell me a little bit about the book that you wrote called Life is Sweeter with Honey?
Yes, this book has been an incredible, incredible journey that God has put me on, and it happened really fast. A lot of people who write books have ideas for books years and years in advance, and when I wrote this book, it was published in January of 2017, but I didn't even start it until September of 2016.
Wow.
And God just gave it to me. It just bubbled right out of me. And it's just from my life experiences. So a little bit of background. People have always looked at me and how I've lived my life and have been inspired. And I would always hear, Honey Beth, you need to write a book. How do you do what you do? How do you live your life the way you do? And I just thought, I was encouraged by a friend. And I said, okay, I'm going to do this. And so, you know, you and I had talked about this, and it's really funny to laugh about, but I took a 3-week sabbatical from life. Literally, I took some planning, but no friends, no family, no work. I just went away for 3 weeks by myself. And for 1 hour a day, every day, I had a quiet time. And then for 1 hour a day, I worked on my book. And I literally talked the whole thing into the notes page of my phone. And it was just so much fun. But it was done. I hired some people to help me project manage it and got it published in January of 2017. So it's been a lot of fun, an incredible journey. And I think it has blessed the socks off of so many people. I was in a place. Now, I don't know if you want me to talk about this right now, but I can just give a little background of where I was before.
Yeah,
where
no,
I am now.
No, okay. I was going to say, because one of the things that's so great about your book is that you're not just pulling principles like about goal setting or whatever, or dreaming dreams, that you've lived this, that this is experience coming to action. And by the way, we have the link to Honey Beth's book, and it's in the podcast description. So if you'd like to order it or find out even more about Honey Beth, both all of her links are going to be in the podcast description. But so that's why this book to me is so valid. You're not just preaching at me. You're saying, look, I'm on the other side, and I'm reaching my hand back and saying, that you can live this life, and that you can change the way you think about things and begin to take steps forward to your purpose. So will you share with us a part of your life story and how this the catalyst moment that just seemed to change the way that you thought about those desires that God has put in our heart.
Absolutely. I love the idea of not living inside a box. You know, you made a mm-hmm. comment on your podcast about living in a box, and I said, I don't even own a box. And
I love that. I love that. I fell back on the couch when you said that. I was like, boom. Yeah, yeah. So let's stop right there. Explain to the audience, what do you mean by a box?
So what I mean by living inside a box is living within the thoughts and expectations of society, of mm-hmm. your family, of friends. Sometimes we feel like we have to be people pleasers, or we have to do what everybody else did. When I grew up, it was you go to elementary school, middle school, high school, and then you go to college, and then you get a job, and you stay at that job forever, and then you retire, and then you can enjoy your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that sounds pretty boring. You know?
Right.
And so the subtitle of my book is Life is Sweeter with Honey, and then the subtitle is How to Create a Joy-Filled Life. And it really is a how-to guide. But everybody has to come to that place where they have a catalyst moment. And you can have more than one catalyst moment. But I believe that if you think back on your life at all the pivotal moments, there is just one catalyst thing. It could be a sentence. It could be an occasion. With somebody's health, it might be a heart attack or being told that you have diabetes, you know, so there's always some type of catalyst moment that changes the trajectory of how you think and of your life. And so for me, I spent 25 years of my life morbidly obese. Mm. I was 320 pounds for a good portion of my life. I've been married for over 25 years now. And even when I got married, I was 250 pounds.
Wow.
And so it just, I lived in a lifestyle of unhealth in every area. I did not have a healthy body. I did not have a healthy mind. I did not have a healthy spirit. I did not have healthy finances. Every area was unhealthy. And one of my catalyst moments was after 10 years of marriage and trying to have children, I finally went to the doctor to get some help. Mm-hmm. And that doctor, in not so many terms, but really in these terms, said, you're too fat to have a baby. Go lose weight.
Wow.
So thank you very much. Like, I didn't know that. And what the heck am I supposed to do?
Right.
So, you know, and so I was just kind of, I came home crying to my mm-hmm. husband, I'm too fat to have a baby. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was just left to figure this out on my own. And I manipulated my body and did some things that probably weren't very smart to do, but I lost 100 pounds and it took me 2 years to lose 100 pounds, but I was able to have children. I wasn't healthy at the time, but I was able to have children. So mm-hmm. I had two children back to back. So the first catalyst moment was being told, you know, you've got to do something in order to have children. Mm-hmm. So two children back to back who are now 16 and 15, and I'm so grateful for them. And right after I had my children, I went back to those yo-yo diet ways, and I was turning myself into a diabetic. My ankles were swollen, my fingers were swelling, my vision was blurry, I couldn't think clearly, and a dear friend who had enough courage to approach me and share the most incredible gift of health with me that I could ever imagine saved my life.
Mm.
Of course, you know, God did as well, but this, the opportunity to really understand how to create health in my life changed my trajectory. So I was able to lose 80 pounds in 7 months, and I've kept it off for 10 years.
Wow.
And for the past 10 years, I've been helping other people do the same.
Mm.
People just need hope. Yeah. I feel like if we can give people wins in one area of their life, it spreads to every other area, one tiny little win at a time. Yeah. And so I've been dubbed the hope dealer, you know, and I don't mind that. I deal hope. And I love it. And so healthy body, healthy mind, healthy spirit, healthy yeah. finances. It's just wins, one win upon another. So I'll just say, if anybody would like to reach out to me mm-hmm. who is needing hope in that area of your life, please connect with me. Mm-hmm. I would love more than anything to hear your story and to see if I might be able to help you. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go on. The thing that happened when I was pregnant with my son is what changed the whole trajectory of my entire life and how I live my life and what caused me to write this book to help others be able to create joy, true joy in their life. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Pen in hand.
I was pregnant with my son, and I can remember having those feelings of excitement. My first child, I'd waited 10 years to have a baby, and just the most joyful time of my life. And my husband and I did not have a lot of resources before that. And I do have two stepchildren who are 35 and 36 right now, and 5 grandbabies. But when they were young, we tried to travel as much as we could with them. We just didn't have a lot of resources, but we mm-hmm. always loved having a good time. And I would find deals, we'd go places and do mm-hmm. things. And so one day, I was at my mother-in-law's house for Sunday lunch. And my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law were sitting there. And their intentions of what they said to me, I truly believe that the intentions were not to harm me, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but I took great offense to it. And they said to me, "Honey Beth, you know that when you have a baby, you can't live your life like you're living it now." Mm. And that sentence hit me like a ton of bricks in the middle of my forehead. And I thought to myself, what in the world do you mean? And who are you to tell me that I can't live my life? Are you telling me that just because I'm having this baby that God has given me that I've waited 10 years for and I'm so excited to have, that my life is going to end because of this? You mm-hmm. have got to be crazy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. And so that right there, that sentence just flipped a switch in my head. And I said, you just wait and see. And I had my baby. And 3 weeks after I had my baby, we went away for 5 days to Williamsburg, Virginia. And it's just never stopped. We have just lived our lives in such a way to create memories and experiences and to live our life now, because we are not guaranteed tomorrow. And I want my children to remember things. This whole idea of waiting for retirement to live your life, I think mm-hmm. God has so much more for us if we will just open our hearts and allow him to give us these visions for what our life can be.
Right, right. Good for you for, now, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, and because wouldn't you agree that when we're young, we have all these hopes and dreams of what the future is going to be. I mean, did you do that when you were a little girl?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, so when we have these hopes and dreams and ideas of what life is going to be like, or what we want to be when we grow up, or what we want to do when we get older, and it seems like the older we get, the more we tend to squash and crush those hopes and dreams because we have more responsibilities, we have debt, we get married, we buy a house, we have mm-hmm. children, and just all, if you can just think about it, all of those hopes and dreams just get squashed. And I believe it should be the other way around. I believe God plants those hopes and dreams in our hearts and gives us these desires to fulfill. And it should be the other way around. It should be, and then I got married, and then I had children, and then, mm-hmm. and just allowing God to do so much more. And so the main thing that I love to do is help women, especially, awaken these hopes and desires and dreams that they have for not only themselves, but their families and what they want their lives to look like, and to give them a plan of action on how to accomplish it.
And, you know, I want to point this out, too, because, you know, your kids, I know who your kids are. And I know that they have been able to embrace all of these experiences and probably lived this this life that inspires them to dream as well. But how did you do that? Because of, like, what about school? And what about, so how did you do that with your children?
Well, I will share how I did that with one disclaimer. The way I do things is not necessarily the way God is calling you to do things.
Right.
You can do what God has called you to do and live your life to the fullest within how He has called you to lead your family. And how He calls you to lead your family is extremely individual to you and your family. So be aware of that. Now, how I've decided to do it is very different. I must say that my love language is travel. If there is ever such a thing as a love language of travel, that is mine. I love to go places and I love to do things. And, you know, I can remember when I got a notice in the mail telling me that my little 5-year-old boy needed to start being put on a school bus and go to school. And this was my baby. I waited 10 years to have this baby. Mm-hmm. And I'm not done with him yet. You know, I'm not done enjoying him. I want to continue to enjoy him. Mm-hmm. And so I made the decision, I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to put him in kindergarten. I don't have to worry about this right now. And the more I looked into it, when I was growing up, and maybe for you too, when I was growing up, you went to school, that's it. But there were all these choices. Do we go to public school, private school, a Christian school? Do we homeschool? Do we do tutoring? You know, what are all of these options at my fingertips? And so I started to look into homeschooling, and I found out that the law, not just in North Carolina, but you cannot register that you're a homeschool until your child turns 7. And I had a December baby. So, like, he was just going to, I had to wait till he was 8 before I could, you know, even register for the school year. But I thought to myself, my son doesn't have to be registered as a homeschool student until he's 7. That means that he doesn't have to be in public school until the 2nd grade. I've got 2 more years to enjoy him. I'm going to keep him at home and just enjoy him. And the next thing I know, I'm at Barnes & Noble getting some Kumon books and doing homeschooling. And so we decided to homeschool, and I have homeschooled ever since. And homeschooling has looked very different. We started very strict and rigorous, and now we are doing the non-school type schooling where we just travel overseas and explore different countries and cultures and things of that nature. So homeschooling is one thing that I did. Of course, working for myself and being self-employed is another thing, because I love staying flexible and just having the freedom to work from anywhere. I was able to help my husband retire from his construction business in October of 2012, and he actually gave it to our oldest son to run. And so we've just really enjoyed some really sweet family time during these years of our kids' life. And again, God has called me to do a lot of things, and because of the decisions that I've made, has just opened doors and has just really been able to lead me. And even now, there's more and more dreams that are being awakened inside of me that I didn't know was there. And that's the thing. Our relationship with Christ is a journey. It's not a beginning and a stop. Yeah. It's not going to look the same from one year to another, even possibly. So I just love being in close relationship with Him and being able to hear what He's calling me to do.
Well, and I love what you said, and this kind of goes back to that idea of the box, because you sought God in this, and you let God, not society, be your, be your leader as far as schooling and things like that. And you've also said, that might be the way somebody leads the Lord. And so you what you're encouraging women to do is not to, reject a certain box or whatever, but to just be present with God and understand where He wants you, and then not be afraid to do that. So let's talk about fear a little bit, because one of the things that you keep saying, that this word that keeps popping up in your conversation, which I love, is, your subtitle is how to create a joy-filled life, and that you're creating this life. And I think that sometimes, I love that word create, because that involves choice. Like, I have to choose to do it. And I think that sometimes we're waiting for God to give us permission. We're waiting to step out of our boat, but we become afraid. Like, we want God to just roll out the red carpet. And when the Israelites crossed through the Red Sea, He did part the waters. But then in the book of Joshua, with the Jordan River, they had to put their feet in the water first. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
And so for me, just personally, I think that there is a huge fear of stepping outside of the box. And we can create a box out of anything. It could be what society says. It could be people pleasing. It could be the box of, just trying to stay comfortable and small and secure. So let's talk about fear, because was there ever a moment where you were afraid to do these things?
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh man. And the two scripture verses that come to my mind immediately, and probably a lot of you listening as well, the Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans, the plans I have for you. And I love that part, plans to give you hope and a future. And the other one I've shared many, many times, and I have just been clinging to this one lately myself, Ephesians 3:20, where God is able to do immeasurably more than anything I could ever hope or imagine. Anything that is in my mind or my heart right now, God is able to do so much more. And when we cling to those things, when we know those things as truths, it doesn't mean that the fear goes away. It just means that we do it scared.
Right.
Just do it.
Right.
So the one thing that I love, that I want to encourage everybody to do, is the first exercise that I have people do in my book is to dream and to learn how to dream again. And so I always talk about the dream date. And every January, within the first week of January, my husband and I always go on a dream date. And sometimes it may be overnight somewhere. Sometimes it's just out to coffee or dinner. But we take a calendar and a blank piece of paper, and we just dream about what we want to do this year and the year after and the year after that. You know, we just kind of had this big plan, this big idea. But we dream together.
I love that.
So first of all, go on a dream date. Mm-hmm. Just go on a dream date, whether it's by yourself or with a spouse, and even include your family. I love to ask my kids, there's one thing that you could do this year, what would it be? Mm. And that's where some of our trips have happened from, because, I want if I can help fulfill something on their wish list, I want to be able to do it. And how can we learn from that? And what's God going to do? So, you know, it can be a whole family project, but don't be scared to dream. It doesn't mean that it may all happen, but it really does awaken your heart and stir it for something more than maybe the ordinary or the rut that you may feel like you're living in.
Yeah. And what, like, because I think too, like, you know, women that are listening today would say, well, but honey, Beth, you've got a company, you're successful, so you can have these dream date nights and talk big, but, you know, my bank account isn't big right now. What would you say to that? Or just, and there's other limitations that we could say that are, they're realities. Do you know what I'm saying? They're, they're realities, or my health isn't great. Or so what would you say to that woman?
Don't give up hope and don't let the enemy steal your joy. You may have circumstances that are preventing you from doing something that you want to do or how you want to do it. But don't let the enemy steal what God is giving you and that vision that God is giving you, because the enemy would love nothing more than to think that you are too busy or you do not have enough or you are not enough. He wants nothing more than to see you and just thwart you from what God may have planned for you. So number one, be aware of that and ask yourself, is this really the truth? Is this God's, is God saying that to me, or is this something else saying that to me? Right. So number one, just really think about that and analyze that. And I thank you for bringing up that point, because I never want to have people think, well, that works for you because you X, Y, Z. You guys, I know what it's like to not be able to pay bills. I know what it's like to live off of ramen noodles and hot dogs that shouldn't even be called hot dogs. You know, I know what it's like to struggle. I made a decision. I mean, there are things in my past. I promise you that if you have experienced something negative in your life, that I can relate to it on one level or another. My life is riddled with pain and circumstances that I wish never happened to me, and bad decisions that I made and repercussions from those decisions. And it was rough. I mean, when we got married, this is the second marriage for my husband. And when we got married, I inherited almost $30,000 worth of debt. You know, so I know what it's like to struggle, guys. But I will say this. All it really takes is for you to make a decision, a quality decision that it's going to be different. Now, hear me. I'm not saying wish it into existence type thing.
Yeah.
I am saying make a quality decision, a mind shift that says, I am no longer going to settle for this, whether it may be a victim mentality, whether it may be a scarcity mentality. But once you make a mental shift, everything changes. And again, if you can just find a small win in one area of your life, it will lead to others.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah.
And it really makes a difference. Now, and I'm going to prove my point right here. Now, some of you, I understand, because this is a wide, vast audience. But think about this. Has there ever been anything in your life that you so badly wanted? So badly wanted. And you did anything and everything to get it. Whether it was a physical thing, a change of a situation, a trip you wanted to go on. I mean, I know that when you want something bad enough, you find a way to do it. I had a mom that needed to get healthy and wanted to get healthy desperately, or she was going to die. And she had five young children, and she was on food stamps, and she found a way to let me help her change her health. That woman wanted it bad enough, you know? And so when you want something bad enough, you will find a way, because you still, oh, this is great. When you want something bad enough, you are more aware of that item or that thing or that situation. And our brains are created in such a way that they want to solve a problem. Every time we have something come up in our body, our brain goes into action to solve it. And I'll use this example. Let's say you decided that you wanted to buy a yellow Volkswagen Beetle. Well, we have this thing in our brain called the reticular activation system. And you end up buying this yellow Volkswagen Beetle, and all of a sudden, the very next day, you see a million yellow Volkswagen Beetles out on the road, and you're like, "What? Why is everybody buying this? Because I decided to buy it." Well, that's not the case. It's just that you are more aware. Mm-hmm. You are now aware. So when, and I say that to example the point of, once you make a quality decision that you want something to change or you want a situation to change in your life, you are going to be more alert and more aware of where to find resources, where to find help, where to find encouragement to make that happen.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I think it goes back to like the part about the choice. Like the man that was lying by the pool of Bethesda, that Jesus came to him and he asked him, "Do you want to get well?"
Yes.
And so God can make us well, yes. But we have to want it bad enough to where we'll act on that. In other words, he said, "Pick up your mat and walk." So there's always going to have to be an action step on our part. I mean, sometimes, you know, God will immediately change things, but, you know, for your health, that was the beginning choices that led to other choices, but it all happened a beginning choice and hard choices to make, but that it was possible. And so it really is about, you know, not being afraid to want what God has placed in your heart, and then not waiting for magic to happen. You know what I mean?
And I
like,
still
boom, magic.
Scared.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's
magic.
There's no magic pill, you know, that's going to solve any of our problems.
Yeah.
And every day, I still, whether it's sending an email or reaching out to somebody, I still do things scared. And I posted this on Facebook the other day, I think it was yesterday, about doing things scared. And the one thing that drives me in my daily decisions is, if I don't do the things that God has called me to do, and if I don't show up in the world as the best version of myself, who is going to suffer because I didn't? Who is going to suffer because I did not have enough guts to share a gift with them, because I was too scared to talk to them about Christ, because I was too scared to talk to them about health? Who is going to suffer when I do that?
Right.
Because, you know, when I do that, I make it about me and not the other person.
Wow. Unpack that. That's powerful.
It really is.
Because sometimes I think people will shrink away from what they're called to do because people would say, and I think I've even heard this sometimes inside of just people would say, well, that's selfish ambition. And, you know, it's better for you to just be more demure.
Yeah.
And quiet and not, and like, you know, like your sister-in-laws who, you know, you weren't saying anything bad about them. I mean, they were truly concerned. I mean, but them saying, you know, they're saying you can't do this because it's not going to be good for your children. And so unpack that though, then how is it selfish? And I agree with you for you to live with that false humility, really.
Yeah, it really, once I could grasp in my brain, because that took a little while for me to get used to thinking that when I don't do what God is calling me to do because I'm scared of what somebody's going to think about me or how they're going to feel about me or what their perceptions are about me, the word that kept coming up is me.
Wow.
Me.
That's good.
And it's not about me. You know, you walk into a room. Oh my gosh, everybody, do a self-check. This is a truth bomb right here. Mm-hmm. When you walk into a room, with other people in the room, you know, lots of other people, it could be friends, strangers, whatever, but when you walk into a room with other people that are in that room, do you immediately think, I wonder what they think about me? Do I look okay? Are they noticing that my hair or my, you know, mm-hmm. your brain immediately goes to, what are they thinking about me? Mm-hmm. And you want to know the truth? The 20 other people in the room are thinking the same thing. Right. They're not thinking about you.
Right.
They're thinking about, what are they thinking about me?
Right. Right.
You know, and so it's the way we're wired. And, but when I could grasp the truth that it was selfish of me to think that way and to not share, mm-hmm. that it changed. Oh my gosh, it changed so much in my life. I grew so much personally and with my business and with my relationships and in every area of my life, because it's not about me. When I have a conversation with somebody, it's all about them and what their needs are. And I will say the biggest thing that scared me half to death was writing my book, because even what I'm sharing with you today, I don't even know that I could share this 2 years ago and talk like this 2 years ago, mm-hmm. because I almost didn't let my book be published. I was sitting there with it done, ready to go in November of 2016. And I cried for weeks because I was scared of what people were going to think about me, about how I live my life and how I think and the impact that I want to have on people's lives. And just being able to share my vision and my heart. And, you know, there's tons of people. I have a wide sphere of influence, and a lot of them didn't really know about my faith. And I lay out my faith and everything in mm-hmm. my book. Mm-hmm. And I was terrified, mm-hmm. absolutely terrified of what people were going to say about me and how they were going to criticize me. And I mean, I had to get to that point where I just didn't care. I needed to do it because God gave it to me and he wanted me to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. And, you know, and there's all kinds of fears, you know, fear that people won't like you, fear like, you know, I'm not going to have money to do this. All of those sorts of things, fear of what if I'm wrong. But from what I hear in your conversation is that you're saying that following Jesus is this adventure. And speak to the whole thing really quickly of, you know, getting over the fear of what if I'm wrong. Because I think that sometimes, and I know that I've had to grow in this area, when you make like a big mistake, you know what I mean? And you're like, when you were living all out for God and negative things happen, then you kind of pull into your shell a little bit. But one, and I just want to say something really quickly to this. A lot of times when you do step out and live for God, negative things, I mean, I'm just trying to be honest.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're going to face the criticism. You're going to face all those things. But what would you say to a woman that said, you know, I did step out and it was a mistake. I, you know, whatever, signed on with the wrong person, used the wrong company, didn't choose the right, you know, pathway. What would you say?
Nothing is ever wasted with God.
I can absolutely 100% see that in my life.
So you make a wrong decision. You make a bad decision. You make a terrible decision. What the heck? We're not perfect. God can redeem that situation. He can redeem you. You know, don't be scared. Fail yourself forward. If you don't make mistakes and you don't fail, you're not going to grow. Look at it as a learning opportunity. Okay, what happened? What did I learn from it? And how do I move on? Ask yourself those three questions all the time.
That's awesome. I love that. So not even that, you know, that should not hold us back, but to propel us forward. I love what you said, fail yourself forward.
Forward.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. And everything that you've shared here today, it just is like screaming at me about the parable of the talents. And how really, you know, God doesn't want us to live like in complete safety and in fear, that he wants us to step out, and that in the stepping out that he's there. And there's going to be struggles and it's going to be hard, but that we have to choose. We have to own it, own our decisions, and own. And in owning that, that's where we create that life, that joy-filled life. And the beautiful thing about what I've said, and it's all just come full circle, is that doing that, it is not about you. It's about pointing people back to God because of your joy, because of, you know, the life that you are living. When the man was healed at the Pool of Bethesda, it was for God. When I, you know, see the pictures that you post of, you know, the now that you've walked through just this huge health revelation, every time I see it, I just say, you know, that there's, that all things are possible. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can dream big and you can create the life that you want, that God is calling you to live.
Yes. And fear is just a part of it, and embrace it. Don't shrug away from it. Do it scared. Find a buddy, whatever it takes. But sometimes you may just need to share crazy ideas with somebody. Yeah. You know, it's just, it's part of the journey with Christ. And you look at Jesus's life. His life was not easy, and he's perfect.
Right, right.
You know, and so we're gonna have bumps in the roads. We're gonna have, you know, major crashes in the road. But know that it's going to happen. But know that you're not alone, and that God can use every situation. Guys, if there's just one thing that I can say, is that we are all created for a purpose. God has a purpose for every single one of us. And when you embrace that idea and start allowing him to awaken these desires in your heart of the things that he's calling you to do. It doesn't have to be big. It can just be being a better parent, or developing better habits within your family. It could be to run for public office. Who knows? But whatever it is, when you allow God to have control and to awaken those desires, and you make a decision that you're going to step out in faith, then that's when the true adventure begins. It doesn't mean all of those things are going to come to fruition. Sometimes I've stepped out in faith because I felt God calling me in a certain direction, and all of a sudden a door slammed in my face. Mm-hmm. I don't believe it's not necessarily because he didn't want me to do a certain thing. Sometimes I think it's just because he wanted to know if I was going to be faithful and doing something that I knew nothing about and I was scared to death to do.
Right, right, right. But and like you said, though, then nothing is wasted, because even in that you're learning and growing through that.
Yeah.
Well, this has been awesome. And I know
Can I share one more thing in
closing? You absolutely can.
Okay. So this is how I end my book. And I wanted to share this. A lot of people ask me.
I love that, yeah.
A lot of people ask me, where does your name come from? Is that your real name, or did you make that up? Yes, it's my real name. Honey is my first name. Beth is my middle name. And Honey came from my great-grandmother, who was Czechoslovakian, and her maiden name was Hunacek. So Honey came from that. My mom had a best friend whose name was Elizabeth, and Beth came from that. But I close my book by saying that honey is one of the purest forms of sweetener that we have in the world today. And, you know, the neat thing is that there's so many different types of honey. You know, it's blackberry, blueberry, eucalyptus, clover, heather, orange blossom, wildflower. You know, there's tons of different kinds of honey. So what I want to encourage you with today is, what type of honey will you use to make your life sweeter? What dreams, what visions, what plans, experiences, and joy will you be adding to your life in 2019? Because after all, life is always sweeter with honey.
That is just bam right there. I love that. I love that. And you all have heard, okay, like I love like all the suggestions that you had, the dream date. Well, inside of Honey Beth's book, Life is Sweeter with Honey, she talks about the how do you do this? And that's just one of the many practical steps that she gives you inside of that book. So I want to encourage you to get it. And also, if you would like to connect with Honey Beth further, you can click on the link to go to her website and see her there. Honey Beth, we are delighted that you chose to be a part of this podcast. And I love being able to say to my listeners, okay, you know, the Nourish Bible Study Method teaches you how to hear from God. So if you've heard from God, now it's time to put that into action. Now you need to go read Honey Beth's book. And learn how to do that. Oh. Yeah, yeah. Thank you so much.
The honor is all mine.
Oh, and well.
Your the tribe here is just beautiful. I love being a part of it. And you feed my soul every week. And I'm so grateful for that.
Oh, well, you know, and the cool thing about it is, and, you know, and I talk about this, but, you know, it's like harmony because we all bring something to the table. See, and you inspire me, even in this podcast today, to just, you know, step out there, to do it afraid, and just to keep on moving. So I love that we can minister to each other. I hope that you all have enjoyed this podcast today. Thank you again, Honey Beth. And again, if you'd like to connect with Honey Beth further, just go in the podcast description and you'll find links to her book and her website. Thanks so much for joining in today, everybody. And you and I, go get a buddy and don't be afraid to step out there and take that first step in your dream. Bye-bye.